Jewish, and this is interesting, Jewish tradition says that King Solomon, who knew all the true meaning of all God's mysteries, types, and ordinances, was unable to understand that of the red heifer. Talmud also says that Moses, of all the mysteries and all the revelation that he had, this is the one ordinance that he did not understand or see. The particular quote is, this is allegedly, this is what Solomon is saying: all things I have fully comprehended, but as regards to the red heifer, I have examined, I have investigated, I have inquired, and I ended up saying, I will get wisdom, but it was far from me. That's Ecclesiastes 7:23. That's the Targum on that. Let's read. It's so complex. It's so simple, but yet because we don't have the building blocks, because we don't have the culture of it, it's very complex. So let's. I think the best thing to do is to read Numbers 19. But it's funny. It's like all. Let me say a couple words before we do that. There were three sacrifices with regard to purification that were done outside the temple and outside the camp. One was the scapegoat, which was done annually, and that was to remove guilt. Totally. The other was the living bird, which was dipped in water and blood and flew away, which got rid of leprosy, which was living death, being just, you know, I'm just dead. But the red heifer had one and solely one function, and that was to purify the people that had been defiled by touching or nearness to anything dead, a dead body. Now, it's a great mystery, because all other communal sacrifices are male. The red heifer is a female. But the essence, I mean, Israel was constantly touching. If you were an Israelite, and you were walking through the wilderness, you were constantly faced with the potential of touching or coming near even a bone, because a bone qualified as touching death. Once they were settled into the land, everyone within the families, I mean, and they lived in a communal existence, so everyone was constantly touching death. I mean, there wouldn't be, you know, an uncle was dying, or an aunt was dying, or a cousin was dying. That's why the high priest was forbidden to mourn any time. He was forbidden to enter the funeral procession. He was forbidden to go to the funeral of his own wife or his own family. Now, it's even more deep in that, from the law standpoint, especially when they were in the land, the law declared that any Gentile was as if you touched a dead person. So any interchange with a Gentile constituted the requirement for ritual purification before they could enter back into the temple. Now, I'll make one of these grandiose statements that I've made a million times, but this one is real because it's what's happening now in this body. Every element besides abandonment of self is touching the dead body. And therefore, every time you touch the dead body, you are unclean for 7 days. But not just unclean for 7 days and then you get to come back. You're unclean for 7 days until you go through the ritual of the waters of purification. Now this is a biggie. And the waters of, when Paul or John or any of the, or Christ uses the word carnal, he's not talking about you going out and screwing somebody. He's talking about these laws. That's what was carnal. And every attempt that you make to compute, to analyze, to figure out, constitutes self-purification, or an attempt at self-purification. I'm not talking about attempts to figure out, I'm talking about attempts to figure out your status. Let me put it a different way. Anytime you take yourself seriously, you are attempting purification of yourself. Every self-improvement book you read in the spirit is attempting to duplicate the ashes of the red heifer. Everything other than the total and complete abandonment of self is an attempt at purification of yourself with the ashes of the red heifer. Now, abandonment of self, if you don't have any belief in God, is impossible. Because if you, in abandonment of self, don't believe that God is your life, then what happens? You will say, well, I'll just sit in a corner and die, because you don't believe in the resurrection. So in effect, self-purification is tied intimately in to that leaven of the Pharisees. The idea that you do not believe in the resurrection of Christ. Or if you do, it's only
Sadducees.
It's that you only, if you do, you only believe in it intellectually. So therefore, you have to take the action to protect yourself because he isn't resurrected. You have to take the action to purify yourself because he isn't resurrected. Now, for the first time, and we're just touching it here, but when you understand this mystery, and I promise you, you will, and you will understand a mystery that the Talmud, the Midrash, the Zohar all say that Moses didn't understand, and that Solomon didn't understand. You will finally understand what it means to walk in the Spirit. Now that's what's set before us. Do you have a general feeling for what this is about? What's the matter?
When you first said, that Moses didn't even understand this.
Okay, let's read. Let's see some. Numbers 19. There's a great thing that's about to take place. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law, which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. Now, there's a doubling here that causes you to say, what in the hell's going on? And I've done this for a long time, and I've never understood something. You know, sometimes it says, this is a statute, this is an ordinance, this is a statute of law, this is an ordinance of law. Well, the proper translation of that is this: in the Hebrew scriptures, it says, this is the statute of the law, which the Lord hath commanded. Whenever the word statute is used of the law, it's only used, I think they, in this, in, I've got it listed back there, but it's only used, that combination in the Hebrew is only used like 4 or 5 times in the whole Bible. But it's something that you better pay attention to, because you'll never understand it by your natural mind, but you better do it anyway. That's what it means when it says, this is the ordinance of the law. And again, the Talmudists and the Midrash are full of them. Are full of these kind of, not full of the ordinance of the law, but full of what rabbis have said about it. And the essence of it is, you cannot understand this with your mind, but you had better do it anyway. Now, you cannot understand what I'm about to tell you with your mind. You can only understand it when you reach the point where I'm tired of trying to cleanse myself. I am tired of my own little rituals that I go through in my head when I'm confronted with that which I perceive as negative. Now, I promise you, if you are not at a point where you see that you are totally and completely empty, tired of doing that, you won't understand what I'm going to say. Okay, let's watch. So they got the red heifer without spot. There's a lot of, we're going to talk about this, but I'm going to read the whole thing. You shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of the blood, of her blood, with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight. Her skin and her flesh and her blood with her dung shall he burn. I mean, the whole damn thing. There's nothing that's taken away. This is the only ordinance in the law where the blood is burned. Mind-blowing implications if you understand the blood.
Pertinence thereof.
Everything. Everything. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. I mean, anybody, you'll see here, that anybody that had anything whatsoever to do with the preparation of the red heifer was unclean. But the heifer made them clean. Great mystery. All right, watch. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in the water, and shall be unclean also until he. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. This won't make any sense to us because we didn't grow up in that environment. But the greatest sin from the standpoint of Israel was touching a dead, something dead. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. Now, I don't think forever is over yet.
Did it change last week
at the emergency? I mean, people that use this book. Huh?
Swear by it.
Swear by it. They say they swear by this book. Hallelujah. This is the word of God. I just got through saying it's a statue forever. I don't see forever as being over.
I believe everything.
Unless this is done, anyone, including natural Israel, including Christians, including anyone, are unclean or automatically without the camp.
Yeah.
That's pretty big. It says forever. Now, that's either true. Well, let's go on. He that toucheth the dead body of any man, or any, what it says is any soul, shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, it being the ashes of the red heifer and the living water. And on the seventh day shall he be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean and cannot enter in to the eighth day. You understand? 7 days of linear time. The eighth day is resurrection life. If you're still time dependent, you have not abandoned yourself, therefore you are unclean unless you have this, therefore you can't understand resurrection. So the water of purification and the ashes of the red heifer are the interface, that horizon line between the seventh and the eighth day. In the spirit, the eighth day is, this is the day that the Lord hath made, the final, as John said in his song, and finally the day of the Lord can begin, where you've ceased from your own labors on the seventh. You can only do that in the grave when you've ceased. Then automatically the following of the seventh is the eighth. All right, watch. 13. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead and purifieth not himself defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead. Now, again, the reason this became so vital is that in the wilderness, they weren't archaeologists. They weren't anthropologists. Therefore, the law has said, and it says elsewhere, that any bone from anything could possibly have been the bone of a man. You understand? So therefore, that if they touched or walked over the bone, or if they walked over a place where someone had, something had fallen in and died, unknowingly even. That's why we'll see this massive thing that was done in the temple to make sure. I'll tell you, I'll give you a secret. In the temple, the one that was clean had to be a child that was raised in a cave. And he had to be a child before a particular age, raised in a cave so that there was never a potential. The cave was dug in a place of bedrock so that there was no possibility that below him was a grave. Now we think this is weird, but it's God's law. It's a law that must be fulfilled.
They went to this length to keep away from the dead.
Anything. Now watch. Again, the reason is, listen to what it says, whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead and purifieth not himself defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel. The word cut off there is, if you were in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation back 325 BC, that word was katakrino. It was totally and completely condemned forever. Without hope. By the act of accidentally touching a bone. And he did not go through the right of the ashes of the red heifer, he was cut off forever from the people and from Israel, without hope. All the tears of repentance, all the sincerity, all the feelings in the world were meaningless. And automatically what that man would do, it was he would go home on his bed and compute ways to purify himself. You understand? He'd spend a lifetime figuring out ways to purify himself, figuring out ways to justify himself, doing anything, everything, to think so that he wouldn't have to think about that. Well, that's the state of modern man. We don't know it.
When did they last use the ashes of the red heifer?
A.D. 70.
Well, I thought they didn't have any before that.
When no, they had some. So by definition, there cannot have been, this is another example, since there wasn't, you know, kiddingly, we call him Buck the Jew, he's not a Jew. There's no Jewish people. There can't be a Jewish people if there's no, what, scapegoat? There can't be a Jewish people if there's no entering into the Holy of Holies with the Ark of the Covenant on the Day of Atonement. There can't be a Jewish people if there's no water of purification. You know what they did? They said reading Torah. You know what the Pharisees did? They said reading about it makes it as though you have done it. And they've made a joke of the law in the same way that modern Christianity. They created synagogue Judaism, which all that Islam is, all that Christianity is, all that modern Judaism is synagogue Judaism. It's impossible. It's Judaism without a temple. It's Judaism without the ashes of the red heifer. It's Judaism without the ark. It's Judaism without the Shekinah glory. You understand what I'm saying? So something either had to have taken place that it was of such cosmic proportions that it affected every human being alive without any carnal ordinances, or the human race, everybody in it, is totally and completely without hope. Now, praise God, something did happen. On the Feast of Pentecost, the Spirit or seed of Christ was shed in your temple as he was in the whole human race. Now he lives in a temple made not with hands. But the rites, these ordinances, which were but a shadow, still are in force forever. And the evilness, ultimate evilness, of self-purification is going to be seen, hopefully tonight. You understand all what self-purification means?
Well, basically, when you're trying to live by any law, I mean, you're going to try and perform and fulfill whatever sacrifice, and this is the only law that, or the only way of purification under God's.
The purification, self-purification, means all of the carnal ordinances, as Larry said. But more importantly, it means you touching that which has died on the cross. Touching meaning what?
Giving importance to
you.
Yeah, taking it.
The only way I can say it is taking it seriously. Now watch. Okay, that's fine. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead and purifieth not himself defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And the word tent just means a dwelling. I mean, any place where people are. It's not just the person is unclean, it's everything connected with it is unclean. Can you now, are you beginning to understand what Paul said? Come out, come out, come out of her, my people, touch not the unclean thing. It's not talking about all that crap that modern, you know, don't go dancing, don't touch it, don't do this, don't do that. It's talking about something that's so overwhelming that they, if it was painted in black and white or neon across the skies, they wouldn't see it, because it's, you can't see the sea while you're swimming in it. Can you begin to understand now why the only unclean thing in the spirit is what's called the harlot of Babylon, and how she has caused all people to drink of the wine of her fornications, including you? How many times have you done it today? How many times has the cross of Christ been made of none effect? I don't see any red heifers around here. Watch. This is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, all that has come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. I mean, do you understand? You got to understand the 7 day business. It's not that it's just unclean 7 days. It's unclean forever. It's unclean 7 days with the ashes of the red heifer. It's unclean forever without the ashes of the red heifer.
It's unclean in time.
Right.
Always.
All right.
But outside of time, if you see the ashes.
And for a unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put there too in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop. Now we just had hyssop in it. Now we get hyssop again. A clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent, upon the vessels, upon the persons that were there, upon him that touched a bone. There's a bone, I told you it was in there. Or one slain, or one dead, or a grave. That's why Jesus said, do you understand the implications when Jesus called the people whited sepulchers? That means under the law. He wasn't using a metaphor loosely. He was calling the people whited sepulchers because they had tried self-purification of a dead thing, and they were unclean by that definition forever. Every TV evangelist that I've seen in the name of Jesus Christ, every radio evangelist that I've seen in the name of Christ, every preacher that I've gone to in the name of Christ has taught you self-purification. Larry, what's going on?
Nothing.
Are you okay? You're strange, like you're... Don't...
No, if I got something, I'll pass it on. Okay.
Or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave shall be unclean for 7 days. And for an unclean person, they shall take the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin and running water, and shall be put into a vessel. And a clean person shall take the hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon that the persons that were there and upon him that touched a bone, or one slain, or one dead, or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day. And on the seventh day he shall purify himself, and wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean at even. Yet even is the beginning of the eighth day. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. I want to go, well, we'll go there in a minute. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him, he is unclean. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, that he that sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he that toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until even. And whatsoever the unclean person touches shall also be unclean. And the soul that toucheth it shall be unclean until even. In other words, it's not just the act. It's the worst plague that's ever been imagined in the history of this universe. It's 10 billion times worse than AIDS. Because me, by the act of touching, if I'm unclean. And in fact, the rabbis, when they get really weird, a lot of the arguments in the Talmud and the Zohar in the Midrash say that the act of breathing upon another, if you're unclean, has caused the other person to be unclean. I'm not going to, we just don't have time to finish this. So we're going to, but I just want to give you a couple things to think about.
Step all that long to die.
Wait for the issue to drop us.
The first thing is that any house or anything any unclean person has touched is unclean and can only be made clean by the waters of purification. Therefore, that's the reason that we don't get involved with social programs or changing governments, or you don't change the unclean thing, you purify it. You understand? The second thing is that this is another example of the 7 days and the 3 days. The time of this sacrifice was 3.5 days into the week. And it's days of years in Daniel's vision. A year, the point of it is that the 3.5 years that these idiots keep talking about this is the point in time. You are sprinkled on the third day at the point in time of 3.5. You're still not clean until the seventh, the even of the seventh, the beginning of the eighth day. If you compute these numbers, they will equal all the mystical numbers in Daniel's vision. That's why Christ was baptized 3.5 years before his death. You understand? I don't care about social programs. I don't care about little things about quote-unquote helping people. Unless they are in my arena. And then I'll give them my life. I'll give them everything I own. But I'm not going to go out and create a program to help somebody. It's unclean. I can't touch it without making and being unclean. Understand? Everything that a dead body touched was unclean forever. Can't be made clean without the ashes of the red heifer. Now, beside all that, the ashes of the red heifer had to be perpetual. Well, I've talked to you before, there have only been 7 red heifers in history. And they were made from the dung of another, or possibly of the same one, before he got burned up with the dung. A container. It was kept in a secret place. And when they were reached the bottom, then they went through this next ritual of killing it. It was a massive ritual, which we'll go through step by step by step by step. And so the ashes that of the heifer that Moses, or that Eleazar and that for Moses did, was mixed with the next red heifer and so on, so that they were always mixed. I can't tell you how important it is that the ashes were a female. And its relationship to why we are the body. And why the body is a female. Well, we'll find out.
And about the dung?
And about the dung.
That's the weirdest. That's one of the weirdest things about how that can be pure.
We'll find out why the cedar was used. We'll find out why the hyssop was used. We'll find out why it had to be, quote unquote, running water or living water. We'll find out where it came from. We'll find out who this other one was that did this stuff. The high priest couldn't do any of this.
I've got a question about clean and unclean. If you weren't clean, then you're not part of the race, you're part of the people. You would be kicked out. Is that right? I mean, they excommunicated or got rid of you if you weren't clean. But weren't most of the people unclean?
If you didn't avail yourself.
If you didn't go through this procedure, you weren't clean.
There was lots of people here.
That's right.
So didn't they have to have mass cleansing ceremonies? Or
they had a lot of big time cleansing.
So the strangers went through these ceremonies too.
That's right.
It seems like a Gentile would always have to be going through it, since he would be touching himself at all times.
Yeah, but the Gentile
just continually. That's a good question.
I want you to read. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters. You understand? The unclean thing is the dead body. 1 Corinthians is where it talks about the same thing.
Or where it says, who will deliver?
Whosoever defileth. I can't find it. But whosoever defileth the temple, when you defile a temple, that's a legal term. That's not somebody that smokes a cigarette or doesn't eat health food. I mean, these terms that are used in the New Testament are real. They can't be understood without understanding the old. Don't purify yourself. I'll just tell you that the only way the ashes of the red heifer are released in you through prophecy. Through openness. Through not taking a stand. through not communing with the dead vessel.
Well, what do you mean by taking a stand?
Having an opinion. An opinion is a graven image. Do you understand also we've studied in this group a lot of the offerings, right? Trespass offering, sin offering. We've started on the burnt offering. Do you understand no one? Do you understand no one that had an experience the ashes of the red heifer can even partake of any of the offerings? Hebrews says those offerings are Christ. Anyway, that's enough. Did I give you enough to whet your appetite?
That's a good appetizer.
See you Thursday.
One more time.
Take it, big guy.